Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. Today we are going to be discussing something that I think is very relevant. What is that? It is being aware that we are all connected as people, as individuals, as the earth is part of who we are part of her. And so for so many centuries, the earth has always been described as mother. The reason being, it is because she gives us sustenance, whether it's from the oceans, whether it's from the land. Air, it doesn't make any difference. Without Mother Earth, none of us would have a chance to survive. And if you don't believe me, check out some of the other planets that we're floating within the cosmic soup with, and you will find that there at this time have not been any discovered that could sustain us. So Mother Earth is an appropriate title. My guest today, Mare Cromwell, she has written a book. It is not a big book. It's a little book, but it's a powerful book and is loaded with some very special messages. They're messages from Mother Earth Mother. I'd like to welcome Mare Cromwell to the show. Mare, it's a pleasure having you today.
Oh, well, it's a pleasure. It's Mare. It's hard to figure out how to pronounce it, but yeah, rhymes with bear or care or whatever. But yes, I am just thrilled that you wanted to speak with me about this book, yes.
Well, I'd like my audience to know a little bit about you. I find people's paths in lives often direct them into certain modalities of understanding, development of belief systems that maybe they didn't have, let's say, at a certain time in their life when they were younger. You have spent over 16 years studying with Native American teachers and developing what I call a listening aptitude and attitude. You also have been involved in gardening. In fact, you have had a professional business with this. You call it sacred gardening. Prior to doing that, you were a National Park Service Ranger in the Grand Canyon and Alaska. And all of this has, through the years, evolved you to this point of understanding. You also call yourself a plant intuitive. Now, Mare, this is something that when I was reading it, I thought, okay, this is sort of an evolutionary patterning that you have gone through to get you to this point. What was it that you think really triggered your love of association with the earth? Did you just come in that way? Is it something that through the family there was this love and association with the earth? Where did it come from?
Well, that's a great question to ask me, and I get the sense that with your radio show and most of your listeners that people are open to past lives and reincarnation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I know for a fact after I have a lot of past life memories that I have many lifetimes of working really closely with Earth and being a gifted healer and herbalist and all that. Mm-hmm. And then, interestingly enough, the way past lives work, my most recent past life, though, I was not at all like that. I was actually a multinational industrialist, and I kind of raped and pillaged the planet with some horrific, you know, industries that are very common to the Western paradigm. And apparently, when I passed over, it was made known to me how horrible my corporate actions were, and I came back really fast with this very deep commitment and awakening to saving the planet, saving ourselves because of what we're doing on the planet, because I wreaked havoc in my most recent past life. You know, past lives mm-hmm. are fascinating. That's a whole other conversation.
Well, that's true. But that's why I was asking, because so many times people will come in to families that have a particular orientation. But apparently you came in with your own unique patterning, and you
yes.
have walked this path of being of a different modality. So that's why I wanted
yeah.
to ask the question, because there
no,
wasn't...
my family.
Yeah, there wasn't from the family. And
no.
I'm always curious about things like this. Now, when you wrote your book, this was put together in less than 5 weeks.
Yes.
And this was something that I don't think you really planned on doing, but the information
no.
was given to you, and it was given to you in a format of a story. Yet when I was reading the story, I felt it was very much a part of your own experience. So am I wrong in my perception?
The story that I put into the book about a woman named Sarah who meets Earth Mother in the woods, and Earth Mother convinces Sarah that she does exist and it is her, and gives Sarah the amazing healing and all these intuitive readings. And I was guided to write the book in that way, so that then Sarah and Mother met every week after that for 13 weeks consecutively. So there are 13 messages. And there's so many things I could say here. The actual messages in the book are a co-creative process of listening and then mixing my knowledge in, because I also have a background in environmental work, and I used to lead sustainability workshops and all that. So the messages are weavings of what I was guided to write from Mother,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and that, you know, weaving it into a story and weaving it, there's silliness. Mother and Sarah tell really bad jokes together. But it was really the kind of thing where I would sit there during that 5 week of intense period of writing and listening. I would just sit there sometimes and do two messages in 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes, you know, like one day I had an afternoon, especially the message on Mother's 13 commandments, which are very powerful commandments. That I was stuck on that afternoon. I went to bed that night, and I was told to get out of bed and do ceremony all night, and I would just be told. I was told what to write for the 13 commandments.
Mm-hmm.
So the listening, and there's another sort of piece to this, which isn't really elaborated on in the book, and that's that I was diagnosed with enlarged lymph nodes, lymphoma. And all last winter and spring, I was working on a whole other book about the sacred feminine and my healing journey through alternative medicine to really get to the core of why I have these enlarged lymph nodes, and they're all in my womb space. And in early June last summer, right before I was told to write the book, I got a diagnosis that the lymph nodes were larger. So I was really scared. I mean, it was like, you know, this is a kind of a really scary situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was asked simultaneously, like a few days after this diagnosis, to meet with a really gifted medicine person. We had planned this weeks in advance to do a healing for Earth Mother. And I cannot give you any more information about that other than to say that he told me that he was going to bring Earth Mother into my being, into my body. But he wasn't sure how we were going to disconnect afterwards. And I wasn't concerned how we were going to disconnect, because I knew we were being called to do this, because Lord knows Earth needs a lot of healing. Mother needs a lot of healing. There's too much stuff
that's
going on
true.
That's very negative.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And so, yeah, so that ceremony happened. And then a week later, I was in a healing session, and I could feel dolphins and whales calling me to the ocean. I could feel it was them. It was like this, their overarching spirit. So I went to the beach, you know, Assateague and Chincoteague here in Maryland, a few days after that, and that's when I was doing ceremony and praying, and I got very little sleep, and that was when I got very clear guidance. You need to put the other book aside. You need to write this. This is what it's going to be called. I mean, Mother even had me get up at 4 in the morning and claim the domain messagesfrommother.org. I couldn't believe it was available, but it
mm-hmm.
was.
Mm-hmm.
So all of this happened really fast. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wanted to bring out some of the points in your book.
Okay.
And in the very first chapter, there is Sarah's hiking, and she comes across this woman, and this woman is looking for her, and this woman tells her who she is. And Sarah, at the time, had been going through a lot of depression, and it was because, and again, this is why I associated with a reflection from you, a sense of depression, and I can relate to that. I was reading through emails that I had received yesterday about so many things in different parts of the world. It's just heartbreaking. You
yeah.
look at the abusiveness of women. You look at the horrible things that we are doing to our environment. And this has been going, a lot of it started out with ignorance, but now as we are becoming more alert and more aware, there is so much around us that is being affected. And, of course, when we poison our own environment one way or another, it always comes back to poison us. There's just no
yep.
way you can get away from it.
Yep.
And one of the things that I was intrigued with was the expression of various aspects of the emotional self. And one of the statements was, in this first chapter, that Sarah felt powerless. And that is something that I think so many people feel today. I don't care who you talk to. I don't care what their age is. They are aware of this, I'll call it an emptiness inside of them. And no matter what they try to do, they reach a point where they do feel powerless, absolutely powerless. And when you're in a moment like that, it is something that is paralyzing many times because you can't think, you can't really, you might think you're feeling, but there's a disassociation with that feeling. There's a helplessness that evolves. And this is part of what Earth Mother gives to Sarah, is the awareness that she's not powerless and she's not helpless. But sometimes we have to have an empty cup before we can fill it.
Yeah.
And I think many times that is what we're going through. So when you're talking in your story, there is this conversation. Earth Mother does have a good sense of humor, even though her jokes stink.
You know what? I was totally guided to put in really bad jokes.
Yes.
I mean, Mother's saying to me, put in really bad jokes. I had to look them up on Google, bad jokes.
Bad jokes, absolutely.
Bad jokes.
Now, you have 13 messages, and the very first one of those 13 is to love your mother. Love the Mother Earth. Appreciate it. Understand the Earth. Now, this is something in indigenous cultures that is very, very important because people that lived close to the earth, they knew that this is where their survival came from. But you can go back in history, I think of Polynesian history, where they were able to trace Polynesian culture as it left Egypt, and how they went to certain places on the planet, and they literally devastated their food supply. They had to move on. They found the remnants of that. And certain species are still not there that were there before. They have found the shells and everything else. They eliminated their food supply. Well, when I was in Hawaii in the 1980s, I can remember being told by a Hawaiian that there were taboos on fishing that would be brought up. And this came because of their previous experiences. When they were fishing too much, and there weren't too many of them, relatively speaking, compared to what we have today living on the islands, They couldn't fish after a while. So they had learned you could not overfish, and they had aquaculture. They had all kinds of things that they put in place that they had learned about.
Right.
So we're having to relearn this all over again.
Donna, can I share something with you here, which is
sure.
Since the book went to press, I have continued to get more messages. And they're all up on the website, messagesfrommother.org. And I got one last week that blew me away. and I think this is an appropriate time to share it very briefly. The message is that, and Mother gave me this again just about a week ago, timely, of course. The message is that at one point, all humans on the planet, all two-leggeds, had an inherent energetic connection to the Earth. And I'm being told to call it Mother's Love Cord Connection. And it is actually a beam of energy that comes from our lowest chakra, our pelvic region, and shoots down into Earth Mother, and she shoots energy back. And we all used to have it. It's like, it's really a love cord. And indigenous people still have it. People from Africa still have it. It's people from the Western cultures, the Eurocentric, Abrahamic religion cultures. We lost it. It got cut gradually, and then it got completely cut as the feminine got suppressed and the temples were destroyed and the patriarchal sort of, you know, worldviews took over. And I am fascinated with this, and I want to share that when I have told people about this at networking meetings in the past week and friends, they all start to feel it mm-hmm. in their groin area. They feel something moving there, and I wouldn't be surprised if there are people listening right now on your radio show who are starting to feel this, because this cord got cut, and when we all used to have it, we all were so close to Mother. And she was so close to her, and we were humans living with the Earth instead of just on the Earth. Because mm-hmm. that's what's happening now with this dominant Western paradigm, is we've become humans living just on the Earth.
I have been speaking to a number of people during the last few years, and I have been saying it's up to the women to make the change. And the reason is that the female is the one that gives life. She is the one that connects. She is the Earth. That's why Earth was called Mother Earth, because she is the supporter of life. And when you go too far into the masculine paradigm, then there's the aggressiveness, there's the dominance, and there are those patterns. And when you look at history, you can see those patterns evolving in different ways. And I have seen it in Native American, I've seen it in European, I've seen it in African, I've seen it in Australian history. And you go through this, and it's a fascinating phenomenon. Every time we get out of balance, every time we become too strong in the masculine, whatever point in history that happens, there's always this, what do I want to say, aggressiveness, and I am the dominant one, and anything and everything else just isn't worth 5 cents worth of hot air.
Yeah, so it's out of balance.
It's very much out of balance. And so that is what your book is about. It's not making anything superior or inferior. It's bringing our awareness back to the understanding that we need to be in harmony. And you look at what's going on right now, and the demeanor of so many people that are in the positionings of authority that are saying, basically, it's my way or the highway, or we'll go out and we'll just slaughter this, or we'll just eliminate that, or we'll drop a bomb here. Gee whiz, that's all. There is really a disconnect. And so it is time for the other side to come in. And that's one of the things, and I'm not going to share all the messages in the book because I think people will benefit tremendously if they read them. But message number four, which I think is extremely important, is about dying and living. And it's something where she addresses that we just need to respect everything that's around us, basically, and to live right here in the now. And I think that is just extremely, extremely important. And to realize that human beings like to think they're so superior, well, if you think you're so superior, then you better pay attention, because it doesn't take much. All Mother Nature has to do, and I've said this so many times, is have a serious attack of PMS, and guess what? We're going to find out how insignificant we really are.
Well, actually, Superstorm Sandy could have been put in a category.
That's absolutely true. absolutely true. Look at the tsunami in Japan. Look at so many things. And the Earth is always growing. She's always putting up new stuff. And if at any time things get to be too nasty, all she has to do is have a good volcanic explosion. And look at what happened with the volcanic activity that stopped everything in Europe. And I had to laugh because they were talking about how billions of dollars was being lost. And I thought, don't you get it?
Yeah.
Don't you get it? It's,
well, it's
in a way, it's sort of funny, but in another way, it's not. Because if we don't pay attention, then we pay the price.
We need a lot more humility.
And this is what your book does. It brings the story and the awareness into a very easy patterning. You have the 13 commandments in here, which I know people would find very, very special. But you bring up something that I think is very important, and it's about love. And this is in your chapter 6. And I'm going to quote directly from your book, the message it was giving. Do not love out of fear. Love is not owning another two-legged. Love is cherishing and honoring that other two-legged so that they too can grow in their divine love to the Creator and me. And this is a concept that I know my husband and I have discussed for the many years that we've been together. And it's something that I think is beginning to edge its way in, that love is not a possession. It is not something where you own anything. You love, you allow it to be what it is. And I think that's a very, very powerful, powerful message.
Again, I mean, most of what's in there, like I was just, she would be on my left side. I would always hear her in my left ear. And a lot of this, you know, also, I mean, it's really, it's a mishmash of what I've learned from Native teachers, from what Mother was saying directly, and Mother was encouraging me to weave in, and then my environmental sustainability background.
Mm-hmm. She has, like I said, she has a good sense of humor. And
she does.
I want to make a comment. So many times when someone will hear a conversation like this, they might say, oh, my goodness, you really have lost it. You've gone into woo-woo land.
But I know.
All of us have our own way of communicating. And having been in the work of mind for so many years and loving to write as I do, I totally empathize with what your experience is, because many times inspiration will come from the different aspects and levels of understanding and wisdom and from loved ones, and it will come in sometimes the most simplistic way. And when we are by ourselves, and if we have a pad of paper and a pen in hand, and we just allow ourselves to be open and receptive, often we get concepts and information that are tremendous, but you can get them through dreams. I mean, there are so many people, famous people, that talk about how they have had information downloaded, using a modern term, downloaded. Their brain computer got a download of software and information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what was happening with you. You were getting a download, and consequently, it was expressed in this delightful way. And I love the information about Facebook and Twitter and all of the computer stuff. And how she says, how did you all get to be so gossipy and petty?
It's true.
Turn off the computers. I just laughed at that. I thought that was so funny. Because so many individuals, in a way, are losing sight of who they are as a person because they think that the interaction with the computer is supplementing what they might be lacking in their lives. And it's a wonderful tool. I have nothing against computers. But I think we need to reconnect with the real world. We need to go out, and we do need to hike in the mountains. We do need to smell some air and get out regardless of the weather. Every season has its gifts, and I really think that is so healthy. It's absolutely marvelous.
Yeah. Well, now, and there's actually all sorts of research now on the physiological benefits of being outside. You know, like there's bacteria in the soil that acts as an antidepressant. There mm-hmm. are physicians in Japan that send their patients out to go for walks in the forest because there's actual physiological, therapeutically measured health benefits, which of course to me is like, well, of course there are, because we all grew up outside. We all grew up working with the earth. And this is the thing, is that Earth Mother, the earth is hardwired to heal. Mm-hmm. And so are we if we work in sync with her and the rhythms of the earth and the wisdom of the earth. But we've gotten, again, it's this thing, we're now two-legged walking on the planet instead of with Mother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I do think that you have a section here, and it's message number 10 about cooperation, not competition. And this, I think, is a natural feminine tendency, typically. Yeah. Not that there aren't women that don't act like vicious little cats at times. I mean, I've been in that environment, too. But in general, most women want a spirit of cooperation. They really don't want to be competing, per se, in the typical way that is often perceived in our culture. And you have a wonderful chapter, your chapter 10, on women dreaming together. And yeah, I just thought that it's so profound, because I know in many cultures, I know among certain Alaskan tribes, that there's always an elder, and usually the women would get together and would talk about their dreams, and then the elder would interpret their dreams. And dreams are powerful, powerful mechanisms for information. And the wisdom that often was shared would allow the women of the tribe to deal with many of the difficult issues that they might be facing. And I recall one incident where a mother had a son who was into drug addiction, and the elder gave her some information because her dreams connected her with her son. And again, this isn't woo-woo stuff, because it's been proven that the connection between a mother and a child exists for an entire lifetime. And there's always information that's going to be out there being sent forward and backwards. And it's the same thing when you think about the earth. There's always the messages that are being sent out. Species are moving away from certain environments, because animal species, because they can't survive anymore. And those that are able to listen are paying attention, people like yourself and others. And there's many, many people dedicated saying, we got to do something here. We've got to pay attention. And then the younger generation that's coming up is doing the same thing. So your book has so many wonderful segments to it, even though it is a small book. It's not a gigantic book. This could be put in someone's purse.
Well, I was told, I was told that keep the chapters really short. I was told, like, for the first, like, 11 or 12 of them, or first maybe 10, I guess. I mean, Mother was specifically saying they shouldn't be more than 3 pages as a Microsoft Word document on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like, okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating how we'll get material, and we are given the wisdom of knowing how to use it. Mare, your book is a fascinating one, and it has so much depth to it, even though it's not a big book. It's Messages from Mother. You have a website, messagesfrommother.org, that people can go to and find out more about it. Is there a thought you would like to leave with my listeners today about your book, or something special you'd like to share with them before we say goodbye?
I would love to. You know, one of the key messages in the book, and if you look at the book cover, you can see this message there, is that evolution is an act of love. Everything around us that has come from Earth Mother and Creator, that we survive on, that we eat, that we walk on, the trees, the plants, the flowers, the bees, all of these come from love. And, you know, the Christian belief systems talk about, or, you know, Muslim, whatever, they talk about God is love. But what's been missing in this whole element from the Abrahamic traditions is that earth is love, too. And everything around us we touch comes from a place of amazing love that is not just from a God in the sky, but from actual planetary consciousness, planetary caretaker that is Earth Mother, that she exists, she thinks, and some of us are listening to her and hoping others will start to listen and to feel the love.
On that note, I want to thank you for being my guest today. Your book, Messages from Mother, Earth Mother, is a powerful publication that I think will reach the people that it needs to reach. I want to thank you for being my guest. And for those of you listening, messagesfrommother.org. I think you will find the information there intriguing. And this little book is something that services to feed the mind and the spirit with some real golden nuggets of wisdom. Mayor Cromwell, thank you for being my guest. For those of you listening, Donna Sebo here. We are taking a break, and we're going to be back in just a moment.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it, and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. And if you would like to call in and chat with me today, I would be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. This is the toll-free number you call in to, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I'm always amazed at synchronicity. I was reviewing material this morning in preparation for booking some guests for shows, and I just was fascinated by the information that has been coming across my desk relative to women becoming aware of their own power, all kinds of information regarding how we need to respect our environment. I'm really just astonished at how this just flows. And I've gotten emails. In fact, one came from India, and I was appalled at what I was reading. And I shared it with my husband last night. I said, how can these components of this violent, violent attitude towards women be prevalent in a country where there is so much wisdom that has come through? And my husband made a comment to me. He said, Donna, we have had people that have come into our home that have been from India, and they have said, you don't want to go there. You don't ever want to go and visit. And I thought, now, why is that? Well, by the time I finished this publication, I found out why. And even though you might be staying there in a wonderful hotel and it's been glamorized, it's far from being glamorous. There is a lot of stuff going on in different places in the world that are not Hollywood. It is the reality of life. And one of the things that we need to be aware of is that whatever we do to make the world a better place, we have to be mindful of something that the Iroquois said, and I think it's wisdom that's very, very powerful. It's whatever you do, how is it going to affect the seventh generation from now? Now think of those words. How are your actions and your behaviors going to affect our environment, your family, those that have not been born yet, seven generations from now? How's that going to affect you? When you think about that and you realize the modalities that have been adopted, you realize that there needs to be a maturation, and that's really what's happening. I think we're maturing. I think of people like Gene Roddenberry, who put together the series Star Trek, and I know we've got a caller, and I'm going to be taking that caller in just a moment. But there are so many things that I observe. I observe, and I've observed them for years. And often things are put out in science fiction or in modalities of a particular style that catch our attention. And Gene Roddenberry, I think, was a man that went a great distance in promoting thoughts and awareness that we are actually incorporating today. So I may speak on that at another time, but let's take our caller, and I want to thank you for waiting. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from? Hello, Tracy. Caller. Oh, I guess not. Hi. Hello, dear. Can you hear me?
I can. Hello.
Can you hear me? Hi. What? First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Tracy, and my name is... I'm calling from Tucson. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, hon. I think you're on a cell phone and you're cutting out. So I wanted to let you know that. So, and there's a bit of a time delay. So take a breath after I finish, and then, you know, you can ask me whatever you like. The first thing, Tracy, is I'm looking at you sitting in a dentist's office, which I think is going to be important. There is something with one of your teeth that's going to need to be repaired. Now, your teeth are sensitive, so you might want to ask the dentist maybe for a Novocaine, or is there something that could be rubbed on topically where the tooth would not be so sensitive when they work on it? But I really think that whatever this is, even though it's not a big repair job, it is something that does need to be fixed. And also that you're going to need to be aware of your food patterns, because there are certain foods that the body is not comfortable with anymore, and it seems to be those foods that are acidic. Let's say like pineapple, maybe even tomatoes, but tomatoes don't seem to have the same. You don't seem to eat all that many tomatoes. But those foods that are highly acidic, you need to be able to balance your diet with more of an alkaline thing. So if you're going to have something like pineapple, maybe you have a little bit of pear with it, or another alkaline fruit. But be aware that your body is going through some changes, and it's trying to tell you, especially after you eat a certain meal, ask yourself, what have I eaten? Why is it that I'm having a problem digesting this? What's going on here? And you'll find it's the way the foods are combined, And so do some testing, and maybe there's certain foods where you shouldn't have carbohydrates with them, and other times it might be just fine. So you need to listen to your body, and you'll figure this all out on your own. It doesn't take, you know, a nuclear scientist to figure this out. Also, you are really going to make an evaluation, and you need some quiet time for yourself about what you want to do professionally, because I think there's going to be a major shift in your working direction by 2014. I'm looking at about August the 18th of 2014. So I want you to be more aware. I want you to be attentive and don't get caught up with a lot of small, fluffy stuff. Don't worry about that. Realize that you're going through, this is a year of adjustment. This is a year where you're having to
learn how to think differently and how to be more awake to what really is most important to you. And it's going to come in subtle ways. It's not going to come like a tsunami. It's coming in very subtle ways. But I really think you are taking dominion over your own environment. And this is coming after many, many years, a good 7 to 10 years, of reaching a point of assertiveness with yourself. And you're going to do it in your own way. I just think this is great. It doesn't mean it's not going to be uncomfortable, but you're going to have to let go of certain old belief systems about yourself. And that may be a little painful because you become accustomed to them and it's quite comfortable, even though it's not helping you to achieve what you want. But you're going to go through it. You're going to do well. This actually is going to be a very good year for you. And I want you to just be patient. What question do you have for me?
I think you answered some of my questions. I made a huge presentation at a conference on Monday, and I was wondering if I was going to be picking up any work then as a result of that.
Actually, I think you are, but I want you to give thought to your presentation. And if you, let's say, at this big conference, picked up a lot of cards from different people, just for the heck of it, let's just take it from that positioning. And let's say you had maybe 20 people you'd been in touch with because of your presentation, and somebody came up to you and said, oh, I'd love to do this, that, or the other. Fine. Then what I would do, I would contact them, not necessarily about asking if you can provide your service, but coming from a different aspect. I would contact them and ask them how they enjoyed the conference, and if they had attended your conference, what did they feel was the most powerful aspect of your presentation? Now, don't be offended if you get, gee, I don't remember. Don't be offended by that. And then reintroduce yourself and say, the reason I'm asking is because I'm really wanting to make an evaluation about what people are needing. And then you can introduce your services and say, this is what I offer, but I'm trying to become aware of what people really want and need. What do you feel is your biggest weakness or your challenge? Choose your own terminology. I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised by the information you're going to get in the way of a feedback.
Oh, my goodness.
So leverage what you have.
Wonderful.
And I think your presentation, you're going to be able to tweak it so that it becomes even more powerful.
Oh, my heavens.
Is that making sense
to
you?
It resonates.
Wonderful. That's very good. I'm glad. That's what it should do.
And
I want to thank you for your call.
Thank you so much, and thank you about talking about food combinations. I know one of my friends is really strongly a believer in that, and you're just reminding me of what's important for me to do.
All right. I want you to remember one thing, that your friend is into food combinations. That's wonderful. But your food combinations may be different than what she's aware of. But I think that's a wonderful point to begin with, to just do some testing.
I completely agree with you.
I think you're going to have fun doing an exploration with this.
I look forward to it.
Tracy, thank you for your call, my dear, and have a wonderful week.
Thank you. You too.
You're welcome. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat with me today, 888-627-6008. Quickly, before we go on break, tomorrow we're going to be talking about the healing power of Sacred Woman. Powerful, powerful book. Christine Page is going to be my guest.
Do tell your friends, and I hope you can join me. We're taking a break for just a minute. Oh, I have got a recipe I've got to share with you. We are down in the 20s here in the Pacific Northwest. Let me tell you, green salad with tomatoes is not on my food preference list. Not when it gets this cold. When we come back, I'm going to share this wonderful recipe with you. It's hearty, it's healthy, it's so good. Okay, we'll be back in just a minute.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. I don't know about you, but when it gets bitter, bitter cold, I want something that not only is going to be hot when I eat it, because if you've been outside walking, and like here in the Pacific Northwest right now, we're getting 20-degree temperatures at night. It went down as low as 18 the other night. So when you're out and about, there's that chill, and there's nothing more satisfying than a good stew, and I've got a recipe here for a green chili stew that is absolutely marvelous. And if you're a working person, you could put this stuff in a crock pot if you wanted to. But, oh, it is so satisfying, and the flavors are absolutely marvelous. Now, I love chicken. That's one of my favorite meats, and I also enjoy pork, and you can use beef if you so desire. But I know that this recipe basically starts, it's made with chicken, but you can adjust some of these ingredients to whatever meat flavor you like. And if you are a vegetarian, you might want to adapt it with certain vegetables and or a vegetable broth. But let me give it to you as I was given the recipe originally. It's a green chili stew. You're going to need about 2 pounds of boneless, skinless chicken breast. Now, there are those of you that may not like white meat, white chicken. Use the dark. Who cares? But this is how the recipe reads. You're going to need 3/4 cup of flour, a teaspoon of salt, 4 teaspoons of ground cumin, and this is going to be divided up into different portions. You're going to need 1.5 teaspoons of ground black pepper, and you're going to need 6 tablespoons of your favorite oil. You need 1 cup of diced onion, yellow onion, 2 cloves chopped of fresh garlic. You need 15 ounces of diced tomatoes, and you can drain these. You need 8 ounces of diced roasted green chilies. Be sure to read the label on the can. Don't do what I did once and end up accidentally getting the hot. Read the heat label on the chilies, because that will make all the difference in the world. Mild is best if you don't have people that like a lot of heat in their chili. 2 tablespoons of crushed dried Mexican oregano. And if you don't have Mexican, use regular oregano. 2 cups of chicken broth, 1 cup of diced red potato. You're going to need 1 cup of sour cream. And, of course, Mexican-style cheese. If you have some of that shredded, that would be a side dish to go along with this. And some tortillas, flour or corn, will go very nicely. Now, this is how you fix it. The breast meat, the chicken breast, will be cut into about 1/2-inch diced pieces. pieces. Put that aside. Your flour, salt, and 1 teaspoon of your cumin and 1/2 teaspoon of pepper. You want to put it in a large plastic bag. You want to add 1/2 of the diced chicken to the bag and shake it to coat. Take off the excess flour off the chicken, you know, just shake it off, and put it in a medium-sized mixing bowl, and you repeat with the remaining chicken. Then you're going to have 2 tablespoons of oil in a 5-quart pan with a lid, and you want to brown 1/2 of the chicken over medium-high heat and remove the chicken from your pan to a bowl. Repeat with the remaining chicken. Remove that from the pan, and putting it in the same bowl. Add at last, well, lastly, you put in 2 tablespoons of oil to the pan. Stir in your onion, garlic, and sauté until the onion is tender. Add your tomatoes, chilies, oregano, and remaining cumin and pepper. Then you add your chicken, chicken broth, the potato. You cover it and simmer it until the potato is soft. It's going to take about 15 to 20 minutes. And, of course, you serve it with sour cream, your shredded cheese, and your warm tortillas. If you're lazy, like me, put everything in a crock pot. I know, it's different. You might want to saute your onions to give them a little bit of color, but you don't want to saute them until they're totally caramelized. You want to saute them a little bit, and your garlic, because that enables those flavors to come out. I just put it all in a crock pot. Let it just cook and simmer. It is wonderful. And the flavors permeate the meat. It is just so good for you. And again, you can take this recipe and adapt it. If you want to have beef, then add beef and use beef broth. If you want to have pork, you can use pork with chicken broth or with beef broth or vegetarian broth, whatever you want. It's up to you. But a basic recipe like this really can go a long way. It's a great way of using up leftovers, too. Crockpots, I think they are a wonderful friend in the kitchen. Low energy, and again, if you're like me and you're lazy, your schedule's busy, what a great assistant. I've got a friend that's got one of these huge crock pots. Oh, my goodness. She fixes up all kinds of food in there, and she doesn't have to bother with it. She doesn't have to worry about it burning or anything like that. And her chilies and all of this, anything that takes the slow simmer, she puts it in the crock pot, and that enables her then to sometimes stockpile for the days that she's so busy she doesn't really want to cook. She just takes something out of the freezer, bingo, heats it up, it's ready to go. I wanted to share something with you. Also, here's the toll-free number if you wanted to give me a call, 627-6008. I wanted to share some details regarding phishing and scamming that's being done on the Internet. We have so much fraud that has just escalated, just in a phenomenal, phenomenal way. And we all are familiar with the stories of people from Nigeria that have inherited this, or they have these stories that they put out. And a lot of people, believe it or not, still fall for these. They may not be coming from Nigeria right now, but they're coming from Russia, they're coming from France, they're coming from South America, and they all have these stories. And one that I'm sure that you have gotten, which I've gotten a number of, is, gee whiz, this is Mickey Mouse, I'm in England, and I'm on this trip, and I've lost my passport, I have no money, please wire me something. Now, what's so interesting is that they're so sophisticated, they will pick out a name from someone that you email to regularly. And they will make you feel that this is, well, of course, it's fraud. It's total fraud. But we are losing, as Americans, $40 billion to $50 billion a year. This is going offshore, folks. Don't do it. They just caught a huge ring here in the Seattle area that they had been watching for 1.5 years. And when they found where the ringleader was, the rooms were loaded with computers. They were just unbelievable in their sophistication. Well, remember, a scam is about a story. And you just need to remember. It can involve any number of things. It can involve home improvement, etc. I'm just about out of time here, so I'm going to talk some more about these scams on future shows. But it's so important for you to remember to stay alert and stay aware, because these people are out to take your hard-earned money and smile all the way to wherever their bank might be. This is Donna Sebo. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm delighted we've been able to share this time together. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Don't you ever let anybody else take over your mind, tell you what to do, how to do, when to do it, and just give it to them. You've been given a brain and the capacity to think so that you can use it. Grow. Enjoy being the person you are, because there's such a wonderful adventure called the adventure of life that is yours to savor and experience. Enjoy it to its fullest today. God bless. Talk with you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.